Luke chapter 8, verse number 22. Luke chapter 8, verse number 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." Luke 8, 23 now. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. My spirit was smitten this morning as we were worshiping, thinking about what I'd be preaching today. And perhaps one of the greatest miracles somebody in this room could receive today would be just a period of calmness in your life. Just a brief period when things are calm. And the Bible said that there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." The Bible is as fresh as tomorrow's newspaper. It's an ever-flowing fountain of divine revelation and inspiration and pertinent word. How many know that to be true? The Bible is the only book that when you read it, it reads you. And it speaks to us because Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." This book is alive. And God is so good to find us where we are and take us to where we need to be. So I'm going to preach today hoping, trusting, fingers crossed, that you've never seen what I'm about to tell you. If you have, you can go home right now and it's over. I love when the Spirit can open the Word to us with a unique, fresh application. And this is what He's given me for the church right now as to what I feel is our greatest moment of revelation. I will preach to you on the subject, the fallacy of misplaced faith. The fallacy of misplaced faith. Turn around to someone and say, "There's no problem about you having faith." There's no problem. There's no problem about you having faith. You've got faith. Everybody say, "I've got faith." The problem is you put it in the wrong place. You may be seated. With their direction and their destiny determined by the desire of their master. Now that's a bunch of words. But I want you to understand where you are going and what God has called you to do is really His idea. It's really His plan. It's really His intention. So even though you may encounter obstacles and barriers and controversies and contradiction, the first thing you need to know is this is God's idea. And so when I know it is His idea, it's not just something that I, thunk up. This is not just something that I put together, but this is the will of God for my life. Then I don't have to worry about a few storms and a little rain and some dark clouds, because if it's God's idea, it's going to be all right. So the disciples encounter a severe negative circumstances that appear most contradictory and calamitous. And here is the point that seems to be of most concern. Jesus appears to be totally unconcerned and undisturbed. Now, why should we be upset if he's not? I'll never forget, and I just thought about this. It's not in my notes, but I was traveling somewhere to preach. And some folks have asked me, do you ever get frightened or distressed about flying? I said, no, I really don't, because maybe once or twice a year I get an airplane when I'm not going somewhere to preach. Almost every time I get into an airplane, I'm going somewhere to preach, which means somebody or some group of people prayed, I trust, and felt it was the will of God for me to come. So I'm not nervous. I'm in the will of God. I just go trusting in the will of God. So I was on this flight one time, and I was in the window, and there was a lady sitting beside me, a younger lady. And all of a sudden, we were flying along, and the lights started just flashing, you know, and they started going crazy. And this lady turned to me, and she said, what's going on? What's happening? And I was trying to be, you know, Mr. Cool here. It's okay, you know. I didn't know. I just said, oh, that's nothing. Don't worry about it. Everything's all right. I said, oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Everything's fine. You know, it's probably nothing to it at all. Just relax. Everything's fine. I'm sure we're all right. She turned to me and she said, sir, I'm a flight attendant. And I have never seen this before. And then all of a sudden I said, well, you know what? It may be time for me to get a little concerned. Can I tell you, as long as Jesus is undisturbed, as long as Jesus is not upset, as long as Jesus is not worried, we don't have anything to worry about. Everything's going to be all right. So the waves and the water are filling the boat. The thoughts of death and disaster dominate their minds, drive them into frantic desperation. So in terror and in trauma, they turn to the sleeping Messiah. And the Bible says they awoke him. They want him to know. They want him to be aware. They want him to be alert. They want him to be involved in their apparent emergency. Let me pause just long enough to say, there's nothing going on in your life that's a mystery to him. There's nothing happening right now that Almighty God doesn't already know what's happening in your life. I've always been greatly inspired and encouraged when the Bible tells me that he is my shepherd. And it tells me that the shepherd goeth before the sheep. Which means anywhere that I go in life, if I'll look down, I'll see the sandal prints of my shepherd. Before he leads me there, he goes there. I said, before he leads me there, he goes there. He will never take you where he has not already been to make sure that it's all right for you. So they wake up. They're in an emergency. They're in desperation. They're in dramatic mode of something's got to happen now. They're terrorized. So they awaken him. They felt the need to awaken him. So Jesus seems to feel the need to awaken his disciples. So like a slap on the face, and that's what I'm hoping the Spirit will do here this morning. Like a slap on the face, he tries to awaken the mentally sleeping, not thinking disciples. He rocked and shocked them with this question: where is your faith? Where is your faith? I am believing that God would have me this morning to come to this church to rock and shock and try to awaken this congregation out of the spiritual stupor, sleep, unconsciousness that we can easily flow into in this negative generation that we are a part of. With this question, I've come to ask you, where is your faith? Because when our faith is properly relocated, it will be the answer to long prayed prayers. Miracles will happen, needs will be met, heaven will be opened, and the bountiful blessings of God will be ours. Let me encourage the church as I see some gray hair on ladies and no hair on some men. It lets me know there's people here of seasoning. There's a lot of folks here that are mainline, old-time Pentecostals. Let me encourage you folks. I'm seeing prayers answered now that are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old are being answered right now. Don't give up on your prayers. God is still answering prayer. I don't have time to go in depth, but just a year or two ago, I saw one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen. I saw a 60-year-old prayer answered. Prayers never die, and God never dies. So we just need to expect it to happen. So I want to address today what I had totally, and I hope you too, had totally not seen, totally misunderstood, totally misapplied. And I became convinced and convicted that what I had thought all along was not the case. When Jesus said, "Where is your faith?" He was not addressing lost faith or even the absence of faith, but in reality, the fallacy of misplaced faith. Because what he said was this: "Where is your faith? Wake up. Get a grip on who you are, who I am, and where we are. Where is your faith?" See, they had faith. Everybody say they had faith. Matter of fact, that faith was very strong, very positive, very powerful, because they screamed, "We are most positively perishing." They had faith. Hardly anything could convince them that what they were thinking was not right. They were totally convinced. They had faith. They had faith in the strength of the storm. They had faith in the wrath of the wind. They had faith in the weight of the waves to destroy them. They were convinced and quite positive, without doubt, that they were undeniably done. This is it. It's over. It's going to happen. We're not going to be saved. We're going to sink. It's a done deal. But the problem was their faith was in the power of the storm. I'm here to preach to you today that what's happened in the apostolic church is we have moved our faith. We have more faith in disaster than we do the master. We have more faith in the wrath of the wind than the written word of God. We have more faith in the storm to destroy than the Savior's power to save. We have more faith in defeat than we do in victory. We have more faith in sickness than we do in wellness. We have more faith in the enemy to hinder than God to deliver. We have more faith in our inability than God's divine ability. We have more faith in what we don't want to happen than what we do want to happen. I'm telling you, we will see mighty move of God in miracles right now if we will harness our misplaced faith and put it where it belongs. Get it back in the promise of God. Get it back in the presence of God. Get it back in the power of God. Get your faith back in the blood of Jesus. Get your faith back in the supernatural work of God. Get your faith back in the fact that with our God, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things. I wish somebody would shout, "All things are possible." There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too great for God. There's nothing too big for God. Our God is a mighty God. Clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord, would you? I don't care what you're facing this morning. God is bigger than that. I don't care what you're going through this morning. God is greater than that. I don't care what your battle is. Our God is the victor this morning. Jesus said, let us go over. Everybody say, Jesus said that. Jesus said, let us go over. Can I remind you this morning that when Jesus says, let us go over, it is impossible to go under. When Jesus says, let us go over, it is impossible for us to go under. I strongly suggest that we acknowledge afresh, it is impossible for the ship to sink when the Savior is on board. Now let me soothe and calm and settle some of you older folks that are here. Go ahead and go to bed and sleep without your Tums, your old age, or your purple pill. You don't need to worry about this church, because God got in it at Pentecost and he's still in it today. And as long as he is in it, it will not go down. I wish somebody shout, the church is going to be all right. The church is going to be all right. Because I heard him say, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So quit worrying and start worshiping. Quit worrying and start worshiping. Now, I'm bad about this. Bad about it, good about it. You describe it. But I felt that. I'm in it now. All that other stuff was just, you know, to get here. But I'm here right now. I need to settle some of you senior saints down. Quit burning ulcers on your stomach and your pastors worrying about this church. God is greater than the spirit of compromise that's in our world. God is greater than our culture. God is greater than what's happening in denominationalism. This is the apostolic church. It was born in the fire with Holy Ghost victory. And when that trumpet sounds, it will leave in glorious apostolic victory. All right, I'll get back to the notes now. You want to know where I was just then? Go home today and look in your cabinet where you keep your chemicals, your cleansing agents or whatever, bug spray, what, it don't matter. There's preaching material on the back of that bug spray, on the back of that material. Here's what it will say. Carrier, massive majority percentage of any chemical is carrier. It may say something like this, 95% carrier. And then it's got two words that just happened here just a moment ago, called active ingredient, 5%. It takes 93% carrier to get 7% active ingredient. That's why sermons are an hour long, so you can get 10 minutes of truth. And what you heard until I got to where I just left was carrier. But ladies and gentlemen, you just heard the active ingredient. It's time for this church to quit worrying. I said the church is going to be all right. I said the church is going to be all right. Quit worrying and start worshiping. When the one that walks on water is a passenger, waves are no problem. The absence of faith is not the problem. The problem is misplaced faith. That's what Jesus was trying to say. Look where you have put your faith. He was saying, you've got faith. You've just put it in the wrong place. You're believing in the wind. You're believing in the storm. You're believing in the waves. You've got your faith in the wrong place. We have more faith in the lies of the devil than we do the truth of the Spirit. We have more faith in the negative than we do in the positive. We have more faith in the fact that we're outnumbered than we do with the verse that says, if God's for us, who then can be against us? Jesus came walking on the water, and he said to Simon Peter, well, Simon said first, he said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. He had already told them, fear not, it is I. But Peter said, could I get a little more? If it really is you, then bid me to come. You know what the Bible says in Job 9 and 8? Here it is. Which alone, everybody say alone, spreadeth out the heavens, and alone treadeth upon the waves of the sea. That's one of the greatest one God scriptures in the Bible. It shows us that Jehovah is Jesus, and Jesus is Jehovah, because only God can walk on water. Only God can walk on water. But Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. I want to do what's impossible. I want to do what's thought humanly unattainable. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be reminded this morning, you cannot walk on water as a human being. You cannot walk on water. Woo! But when Jesus said, come, he wasn't walking on water. He was walking on word. And you can walk on word when you can't walk on water. When it looks impossible, walk on the word. You can walk on the word. Now bear with me here. There was a day that this great church was full of faith in divine healing. Now we're full of faith in Medicare and supplements. Now we're full of faith in our company insurance. We used to have blessed assurance. Now we have blessed insurance. And so faith in the miraculous power of God has been minimized. And we don't hold to the faith of God that we once held. We have become more trained and oriented to believe in the physician than the great physician. I'm not against doctors. Thank God for them. We need them. They that are not whole have need of a physician. But not at the expense of believing more in the physician than we do in the great physician. Let the doctor say what he wants to say, but your faith and trust should not be in what he said. Your faith and trust should be in a Bible that says, he is the Lord thy God that healeth thee. He's the Lord that healeth thee. I wish somebody would shout right now, I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. There's a word for somebody right now. I shall live and not die. Quit planning your funeral and plan your vacation. Quit planning your funeral and plan your vacation. I shall live and not die. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Get a hold of your faith and stand up right now and say, by his name, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. By his blood, I am healed. If you need to be healed, step out in that aisle. If you need a miracle, step out in that aisle. If you need a deliverance, step out in that aisle. Where is your faith? Put your faith back in the one that has all power. Put your faith in the one that's a healer. Put your faith in the one that never fails. Put your faith in the one that never is defeated. Come on, church, the Holy Ghost is working right now. You know who's in this building. You know what they need. Minister to somebody right now. Jesus said, where is your faith? Put your faith in the right place. Get your faith in the right person. Get your faith in the right thing. That with God all things are possible. Listening to your negative voice. Quit listening to your own flesh. Quit listening to a lying devil. Quit listening to an unbelieving world. And put your faith in, it is written. God has said, I shall live and not die. You can walk on the word. You can walk on the word. You can walk on the word. When you can't walk on the water, you can walk on the word. When you say amen, when you say amen, what you're saying is, I say it is so. I say it is so. That's why the writer said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The doctor says you're going to die. You know what you should say? So. I say his word is so. I say it's going to be what he says. Let this be your final defense. Let this be your greatest faith. Let this be your strongest foundation. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is shaking sand. It's time now to lift your hands and say, I'm putting my faith in him. I'm putting my faith in his word. I'm putting my faith in his blood. I'm putting my faith in his stripes.